Track 11. David Clayton. Do you remember Round the Horn? I used to love it. And it seems that David Clayton was also an addict. Here he is.
After a lifetime career in radio, sometimes people ask me, you know, why I got into it or how I got into it. I can do the why, which is during the 60s when I was growing up, pirate radio was right across the airwaves and changed entirely how we listened to radio. Because as a teenager, you could get pop music from all the pirate stations because you couldn't from the BBC. But the other reason that I loved radio was, and I'm going to put it around Sunday lunchtime, because what happened at Sunday lunchtime back in the 60s, a bit traditionally, mother would cook the Sunday lunch, sisters would help, us boys stayed out of the way, but wandering through the kitchen, you'd hear two-way family favourites.
In Britain and in Germany, it's 12 noon, so at home and away, once again, it's time for two-way family favourites.
Can You Hear Me in Cologne, Gene? Gene Metcalf in Cologne and Cliff Mitchell-Moore in London, linking up and playing requests backwards and forwards to the squaddies in Germany and their families back in England. And sometimes you heard a bit of pop music, so that's why it was good to listen to. But after Sunday lunch, when the clearing up was happening, there was a comedy on the radio. You'd hear things like The Clitheroe Kid, but particularly I would hear Round the Horn.
I see Round the Horn's on in a minute, Dad.
Muck, that is. Muck. They're all muck. Every one of them.
Well, that Kenneth Horn ain't. He's educated.
Well, he ought to know better. Consulting with all that other muck. It's all them double entendres and the insinuendos and catchpenny horseplay.
Am I going to have it on then, Dad?
No, I should just sit here and polish me boots with a cat.
Yes. I think you should listen to it.
I should listen to it? Why? Yes. Give me one good reason.
Well, I mean, you are head of broadcasting.
Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the show that thumbs its nose at convention and cocks a snook at credibility. Round the Horn!
And Round the Horn is probably, to this day, the best remembered and most loved comedy of the 60s on the BBC. And right now, it's celebrating a bit of a birthday, because it was born, if you like, around this time in 1965. Kenneth Horne was the sort of urbane compere, if you like, the posh BBC voice. There were a couple of brilliant actors, Hugh Paddick and Kenneth Williams. There was Betty Marsden, there was Bill Pertwee, and there was a wonderful announcer called Douglas Smith, who gradually got a bigger part in the series as it went on. And this was hilarious. It was hilarious for two reasons. If you understood the gags, you laughed. And I did understand some of them. If you didn't understand them, the audience laughter was infectious.
Frankenstein, why have you locked us both in this laboratory? Why have you strapped me to this operating table?
Well, my dear, it's not generally known, but I have a monster. I need replacements for him. From time to time, you understand, spares, you might say. You are a woman of many parts, some of them useful to me. I can use that part. And that part. I can't use that part, but that part's not bad.
No! No! Oh, let me go! Let me go!
I see. Oh, I shall have to resort. Oh, I shall have to resort to a gag. Air hostess to sick passenger. Tell me, sir, have you got vertigo? Passenger? No, only as far as Birmingham. Yes, I thought that would quieten you.
And the one thing I do remember was Julian and Sandy, two rather camp gentlemen who Kenneth Horne would encounter in various sketches. And they would be opening this business and that business, usually called Bona something or other, B-O-N-A. Part of the theatrical language they were using called Polari.
I went down to the East India Dock Road to a place calling itself Bona Tattoo. Hello, anyone there?
Hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy. We're Bona Tattooists.
It's Miss Throne. What brings you trolling in here, then?
Now, here's the thing. In 1965, when this first started, and they were doing this highly camp, innuendo-laden script written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, the BBC actually didn't understand why it was or why it might have been a bit rude. And there were all sorts of complaints from MPs and Mary Whitehouse when she started campaigning. But the Director General of the BBC, Hugh Green, defended the comedy. And it was all about innuendo, double entendre, if you like. So you say one thing, you laugh out loud because it's outrageous, but it's almost like what you might call a self-cleaning joke, because you can point to the fact it's really quite innocent and it's all in the listener's mind.
Of course, the great institution of the English seaside is the boarding house. Recently, I was leafing through my copy of Throw Off Your Clothes and Live. Well, I buy it for the chest problem. And I saw an advertisement which read, "Get away from it all. Spend your holidays at the Bona Guest House, Bognor." So I decided to throw a few things into a bag and give it a try. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello, Miss Drone. Oh, welcome to our guest, Lassie. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, welcome, yes, to the guest, Lattie. It's a proper home from Omi.
Yeah. And how long have you been hotelier?
Not long, but of course we knew Bognor well, didn't
what?
We? Oh, we used to do your summer seasons down here, entertaining, you know.
Yes, we was at the Smuggler's Nook year after year.
Yes, songs at the piano. Oh, they'd let their rye right down when we got going. You know the sort of thing. Jewel, get on the piano.
Shall I?
Get on the piano. Yes. I wouldn't allow your lappers on the Striller's boner.
We had our tender turned down by the council.
Flat.
So we both had a bit put by, so we decided to plunge into this boarding, Lattie.
And here we are.
Dan Trollin.
That's the name. yes, we offer very reasonable rates. B&B, 16 shillings. Use of cruet, extra.
Well, how much extra?
Depends what use you put it to.
Yes, you see, We class it as a sort of extra vegetable.
Oh, why is that?
Well, Scott P's always in the mustard.
There's absolutely no restrictions within reason.
No, of course. No women in the rooms.
No women in the rooms. No. Not much danger of that with Mr. Orne, not at his age. Only sort he's likely to attract, never make it up the stairs.
Julian and Sandy were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Outrageous, camp, hysterical, and the laughter from the audience when you hear it. There are women screaming with laughter. So Round the Horn, 60 years old, and you couldn't get away with some of the comedy it was doing back then. It just wouldn't be allowed now.
7 p.m. Big Nick's Uptown Dive. I'm at the bar looking round at the worn carpet and the peeling stucco. That's Ethel Stucco, the stripper. She's been dancing in Big Nick's for years.
Next, please.
Sorry, I'm late, Mr. Orne. I had to move it from Brixton. Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's all right,
Mr. Desmond Grapple.
Oh, you could have fooled me.
Panto Dame Specialities. Richard Mee agent set me up. Oh!
They're hardly surprising, are they?
Must you, Charles? Must you?
You know I must.
I don't like it, Charles. When you're up there, do you think of me down here? thinking of you up there?
Constantly. Never-endingly, finger-drummingly, heart-poundingly, breath-holdingly, toe-kerningly, stomach-going overly. And you, Fiona, when you're down here, do you think of me up there, thinking of you down here? Thinking of me up there, down here?
Yes, Charles.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know.
And yet, when I open my mouth, the words just won't come.
Why not, Charles?
I speak through my nose.
And Barry Took and Marty Feldman used to say, well, we write this down-market material in an up-market way. And I thought, well, that's a good way of describing it. So if you get chance, because every now and again on BBC Radio 4 Extra digital station, they will repeat Round the Horn every now and again. And I will listen to them all again, and I will laugh all again. So Kenneth Horne, Kenneth Williams and Hugh Paddick, who I did interview once in a theatre role dressing room, who wasn't playing the camp character of Julian and Sandy, which he normally did, was a joy to meet. But thank you to all of them, the wonderful Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Douglas Smith, and of course, the urbane Kenneth Horne. When you see it come on the radio again, listen. You will laugh out loud. And happy 60th birthday, Round the Horn.
And now, Balls Pond Road's own poet laureate, Rambling Sid Rumper.
Oh, hello, me dearie.
And what have you for us in your gander bag this week?
It's a lyrical and devious ditty that sung throughout Lammastide by the dwindling band of Essex Graunchers as they court their swains.
Oh, yes.
A swain, you know, is a cross between a snake and a pig. Oh, horrible, really, as ugly as sin they are, but you do get marvellous streaky bacon. Lovely, lovely, really lovely. I can see that got you going.
Yes.
Anyway, my ditty goes after this fashion, warmly and trippingly. There was a jolly grunger man who lived in Lowestoft. He nerked his spong from morn till eve and developed a nasty cough. He grunched and whirled from morn till eve, and this was ere he shout, oh, I cannot woggle my artifacts while the constable's about. And his colleague replies after this fashion. But why, my jolly grandeur man from famous Lowestoft, why should you fear the constable to whom your hat you've doffed? For you can woggle your artifacts and ask no reason why. Oh, but grunge as quietly as you can till the constables pass by.
Thank you, Rambling Sid, without whom this show would have been possible.
Thank you, David. I still laugh when I remember Julian and his friend Sandy. And do you remember the programmes used to start with an alleged excerpt from a book or play? For example, are you enjoying this trip on the Northern Line? Yes, but don't look behind you. Oh my God, it's Epping. That was an excerpt from a new production of Look Back in Ongar,